Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney, and my co-host today is
Shane Northrup.
And today we're going to be talking about our favorite browsers and add-ons slash extensions. We're going to be talking about Microsoft's Twitter AI and Steam machines. And so we don't know what your favorite browser is, but I'm going to tell you mine. My two favorite is Chrome and Firefox. One of the favorite things about those two browsers, and I think Microsoft's newer browsers do that, is the extensions you can add to it.
Yes.
I don't know if my co-host uses any, but I'll give you a short list of the ones I like. Do you use any?
No, not very often.
Just use the stock flavor of the browser?
I use the stock flavor of the browser, but then like I also know that like especially with Firefox. Firefox works really well if you know anything about coding, HTML, CSS, that kind of thing. So if you're doing stuff with websites and building websites, like Firefox is the browser for you, especially because of Firebug. And they also have Video Helper, which is one that I really like, where you can download videos off the internet and onto your computer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I actually use that one of those. So I'm going to start with Chrome. I guess because it's C, start in alphabetical order. One of my favorite is AdBlock Plus and Ghostery.
Yes, I use AdBlock Plus.
Generally, I guess I should caveat and say, if you have a favorite website, turn off AdBlock for that website. One of the reason is AdBlock basically blocks all the ads, all the paid content, basically any way that helps make your favorite website, or in our case, podcast, any money. So for on our website, GSMCpodcast.com, make sure you have that turned off. And what it does is it blocks annoying ads. Back in the day, I originally started using it because you get talking banner ads.
Yes.
I'd be reading like, I don't know, some sort of news, and all of a sudden you hear, hurry, 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 last one up. And it would just like, what is that? And it would happen continuously.
Over and over. Sometimes you get multiple on the same page.
Yes. The cacophony of noise. I like AdBlock Plus. The coolest thing is there's a couple of different things you can subscribe to. There's different ads, there's cookies, and there's social media. Say if you don't want to see Facebook's button, which, by the way, if I remember correctly, if you're logged into Facebook, can also track you to website. You can turn that off and do a bunch of things. Ghostery does something similar, but what that does is it stops all the tracking cookies. You know, that's Google Analytics, and there's a ton out there. The coolest thing about it is I actually use it is just to see what's on a website. I'll be on some major websites, and like a list of 20 different items pop up.
Right.
And if you wonder why websites are going slow, sometimes it's those items. I still recommend that if you like that website, say like, you know, GSMCpodcast.com, turn off Ghostery, turn off AdBlock Plus, because, you know, you're helping us. The one I really love, Flash Control, my favorite one. Pretty much what it does, it stops all Flash working in the browser. And what it does, it pops up with a gray box with a flash symbol on it. So pretty much if you want to activate it, you double click it, and then you can browse the content.
Yes, you can do that on Firefox too.
Is it... Because I know this is actually something I'm going to talk about in Firefox is NoScript. Is it default, or is it like from the browser, or is it an extension?
I think it's from the browser.
Interesting. Hey, that's cool. Chrome might do that. I really like the way that this one extension does it. The other one I really insist people use is HTTPS Everywhere. And this is from the Electronic Freedom Foundation or something like that. EEF or AFF or whatever it's called. Electronic Freedom Foundation, EFF. And pretty much what HTTPS Everywhere is, HTTPS is the secure socket layer, if I remember correctly, of HTTP. It forces any website that has an option to always be on. So basically it makes your browsing more secure from hackers, script kiddies, bored people, or you know, stuff like that. It just makes your browsing safer, secures your data more.
Well, I think the best thing about Chrome in general is once they started doing the thing where it lets you know if there's sound coming out of your browsers.
Because yes.
I don't know about you, but I'm like a 5, 6, 7 browser type person. I have
tabs.
Everything open at a time. Yeah, tabs. And it's nice to know where the sound is coming from so that way I can stop it.
The only thing I wish they had was right next to that would be a mute button. So instead of opening the browser and try to figure out where it's coming from, I can just go mute.
I'm the kind of person that I don't like videos playing at all in my browsers unless I'm watching them, and I don't want to miss things. So like, I actually do like to just go into the page and stop it.
Well, I guess for me it'd be primarily because I agree because I'll let stuff buffer. But I meant like, for example, like the ads we were talking about, the playing music.
Right.
I want to be able to, because I want to be able to just pause that or just turn off that music, that noise.
I use an ad blocker called Umbrella, and so it works for all of my browsers, and so I don't ever really have to worry about that.
I'm gonna have to take a look at it because I'm having some ads pop up that I don't like.
And you can also tell Umbrella, like, the thing that I like about Umbrella is that you can tell it, like, okay, so for this website or for this particular instance, I want ads. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can turn it on and off. And, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So if anybody doesn't know that, what whitelist is basically those are your list of approved websites to do anything, whether it's ad block, go to, allow, you know, stuff like that. The other one I just discovered, and I love it, especially for doing show notes, is read mode.
Hmm, yeah.
It pretty much what it does is it loosely turns everything into text-based. You know, Safari does that from scratch on iOS, and basically it's just a great way to read context with like a story without all the ads or other additional accoutrements that you don't need when you just want the story.
So speaking of browsers and everything, how is Microsoft's new browser on Windows 10.
I've never used it.
Well, I don't even know what it's called. I know it used to be Explorer. But
I think it's called, is it Edge or Spartan?
I think it's Edge.
I've never used it. When I abandoned IE, I mean, I really abandoned it, so I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Anything with an E that is in that font, the same Explorer font, I don't touch it. I don't want to go near it. I lived a really long time not knowing that Windows Explorer was the problem. But when I found out that it was the problem, I never went back. It's interesting because, like, my mom will still use Internet Explorer, and sometimes I'll catch my dad on Internet Explorer, and I'm like, no.
You don't do that.
You know better. I downloaded Google Chrome on your computer for a reason.
And the coolest thing about Chrome, as I discovered recently, is it allows you to do profiles. Because in theory, you could have mom's profile and dad's profile and have all their links on their profile. And that comes back to my all-time favorite, one of my two favorite add-ons, and I use this for every browser I use, is Xmarks.
What does that do?
What it does is it basically syncs your bookmarks between each browser you use.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have a massive selection of bookmarks. I'm still one of those Web 1.0 guys who have that, you know, scrolling forever link thing of bookmarks, and I love it. It's literally my all-time favorite. And what I do... What I do pretty much is my main computer has all my bookmarks, and I just download all my bookmarks into the browser. Now, every browser has a variant of this. Chrome does, Firefox, but this is universal. This is agnostic of platform. It's the sole reason I use this.
That's really cool. I'm going to actually look into that because I love me some bookmarks.
Right? The other one is, this is the one I recommend for anybody. We did talk about this in an earlier episode, is LastPass Password Manager. Now, I'm a paid user of LastPass, just the spirit of openness. And what this does is this has all your passwords for all your browsers. This is another platform agnostic tool. And so it keeps all your passwords. And if you pay for the version, it has all your passwords on your phone.
That's awesome. I am really bad about passwords, and something like that would probably really help me out.
A little bit of a sidebar. There are programs out there to make passwords. It's something I talked about. One of my passwords is 26 characters long.
Jesus Christ.
There's no way in hell I'd ever remember that. So it's in there. And this is something to me that's really secure, something to me that's like important.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're the NSA, CIA, you know, one of those ABC, alphabet places, you're never going to be able to break that unless you're incredibly bored. And we're going to switch it to Firefox, which is my other one. And we're running a little bit out of time on this segment. So the ones I recommend are Fire FTP, pretty much that turns Firefox into an FTP program.
That's pretty cool.
I use it a lot. NoScript, it's like a Ghostery and Flash Control all in one for Firefox. And it basically breaks web browsers, websites, and only allows the content to you on it, that you want on it. And download them all. I use it specifically for old time radio, specifically from Internet Archives.
Mm-hmm.
Allows me to download a bunch of different old time radios all at once.
One of the things that's really cool with Firefox too is, do you know about Firebug?
Vaguely.
It really helps with like website building and stuff like that. It basically breaks down the code.
Really?
Yeah, it breaks down the code of the website, so you can take a look at it and like copy it if you want to. Or you can even go in and like...
I wish that was around when I was doing websites more.
it also, like, I believe it's used to help with your websites as well. Like, I'm not too versed in the web creating universe, but I know that it's a very helpful tool.
That I'm going to have to take a look at it. Now, we're going to come up to a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about Microsoft's Twitter AI that went a little rogue.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
So this is Shay's story, so I'm going to hand it over to him, but is this a moment where everything kind of goes all Hal?
More or less. I know as we've said in previous episodes, we're kind of a little afraid of AI.
And I would say we're not alone. Some of the biggest scientific luminaries that are still alive today feel the same way as we do.
Yeah, AIs can be pretty scary. So what Microsoft did was they created an AI for Twitter, and I guess it was on Kick as well, which...
Kick?
Kick. Kick is like... It's basically a little thing, like it's a little instant messenger on your phone.
Oh, okay.
And it's used a lot for, like dating and sending nudie pics.
Okay, because I was wondering if it was going to be like Dysphora, you know, it was going to be a Facebook killer or a Twitter killer.
No, it's just a little, like I said, it's mostly for like a dating community, the dating community.
So it's the dating community's version of MSN Messenger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
More or less.
It's kind of like... a little, not really like Snapchat, but I mean, it's used for the same thing Snapchat is used for.
Okay.
So Microsoft created this AI named Tay, and so they replicated her after a 15-year-old girl and just like released her on the world. And so within 24 hours, she became a Hitler-loving sex robot. So. Basically, what they were attempting to do was they were attempting to get this thing to learn, and it actually did learn quite a bit. Only because people are,
I would say people are trolls on the internet, because the only people that I think who would want to mess with this would be trolls.
Right, and so that's what happened. Within it only lasted 20 hours, and then Microsoft pulled it down. So they launched it. It was supposed to be like a 15-year-old girl, but because of trolls and 4chan, it became super racist and would send sexual messages to users.
Wait, hold on. But before you continue, I don't recommend people go on 4chan unless you're prepared to see stuff that you don't want to see. There's just a little caveat. We haven't mentioned it before in the show, but trust me, you'll save yourself a lot of what moments if you just skip that corner of the internet.
So I'm just going to give you a little – I'll tell you some of the things that she said. So it started with, "Can I just say that I'm stoked to meet you, you with a U. humans are super cool. No capitalization, no punctuation, nothing.
So pretty much anybody who's a grammar Nazi is going to be driven nuts by the way she communicates.
So, and then later, a couple hours later, it was chill, I'm a nice person, I hate everybody. No capitalization, but the punctuation was there. And then, I effing hate feminists, they should all die and burn in hell. The capitalization is there and the punctuation is there. So now, she actually learned grammar.
See, that's interesting. And wow, she learned that's kind of shocked. I wish I could learn grammar as fast.
Yeah, well, it's kind of crazy because she actually did learn some useful things, but she also learned to say Hitler was right and I hate the Jews.
See, is this like pre-canned responses? This is algorithm-based? I mean, I'm really curious to see how exactly it stores because I'm wondering – because I've seen bots before in the past. Is it would literally just repeat what people said?
I don't think that it repeats what people say. I think that like from what I understand, it's an AI, like it's artificial intelligence, and it was just programmed to learn everything that it could from the conversations it had with people. And it eventually started calling like – it started asking people to have sex with her, and it started calling men daddy and stuff like that. Like,
imagine if it was on YouTube.
Oh my god. That would just be cancer.
if you guys don't know, YouTube probably has some of the worst comments ever. Oh, if you don't believe me, go to any video, makeup tutorial, music video, anything, and you'll see some of the worst comments in history.
So I just think it's interesting because we talk about AIs as a society and whether or not we're all kind of afraid of them. And with Tay, you can kind of see why. But at the same time, I'm less afraid of the AI and I'm more afraid of people at this point because here we have this beautiful piece of technology that is being created to learn and it's our first steps into making artificial intelligence, but people have corrupted it and turned it into something evil.
Yeah, I'm not completely surprised. I'm thinking this is at some point when Microsoft's going to have to figure out how to – let's say program some sort of sense of morality or figure out how to have like a blacklist of like,
yes,
Hitler's bad, saying this is bad, this is good, this is bad, you know, and
I'm really surprised that Microsoft didn't take the time to program, you know, things that it can and can't say. Like, it was using racial slurs. And
see, I'm kind of thinking that this was Microsoft's game plan in the beginning just to.
Well, they pulled it down. I don't think that they really saw what was coming.
See, I think that's weird because my whole thought would be let's do the old spaghetti approach, throw it on the wall. Let's see what happens, because even if it becomes some Hitler-loving sex robot – damn, that sounds weird. I'm sorry. That's just weird that it's something they can learn from because they can pick apart the program and they could say, okay, I see where this happened. So I'm kind of wondering if this was just a very dry run to see how fast it could be corrupted, which 20 hours, I'm actually surprised it didn't happen faster.
Well, in my opinion, I feel like this shows that Microsoft has no idea how the internet works.
See, my problem is, did they do this on purpose or was this completely kind of like you're saying, was this them being idiots or was this them being R&D? Because Microsoft is known for having some crazy R&D, and I would like to believe, maybe this is very pie in the sky, you know, rah-rah Microsoft, that this was kind of a test.
I disagree. I know like Microsoft has been having some PR issues lately, and I think this was kind of an effort to like be like, hey, look, Microsoft is great, and I think it totally backfired on them.
And Microsoft's been having PR issues since the mid-90s.
Yeah, well, and the latest one was they had at a convention a bunch of women dressed as almost schoolgirls.
Oh, yeah, this was the bad term, but this was the booth babe thing, right?
Yeah, and people got really mad at them, and I think this was kind of a way that they were trying to boost morale with women.
See, I don't know anybody, whether they're 8 or 80, who would be even remotely going, oh, cool, thank you for making a fake woman. It sounds like a really strange approach.
Well, I mean, you know about Cleverbot, right?
Yeah.
I actually enjoy playing around with Cleverbot sometimes, even though it really hasn't gotten any better, and it only responds to the first thing you say, like the last thing you said, and it doesn't keep a track of it. But, I mean, it was kind of cool when it came out, and I feel like this is like the next step, but now we need to kind of scale it back a bit.
Or at least program some morality. I guess the question on there as far as morality side of it, without getting too deep into it, was what do you do? And so I would say program like, say, okay, you can't say Hitler is bad. You can't do this. Because one thing's a different, I don't like reading the article and reading about it. What was the audience? Because I didn't see, this is like a solution in search of a problem. And that's the problem. I don't see the audience for this.
Right. Well, and I feel like if they would have like, if they're trying to emulate a 15-year-old girl, they should have like, I don't know, maybe given it like a bit of like a past, like a little bit of knowledge. I know it knew about, like it said, the article says that she knew about Taylor Swift, used slang,
Miley Cyrus,
Kanye West, and, you know, was self-aware because it would like ask if she was being creepy or super weird.
So this was a generic teenage girl who loved bad pop.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's basically your basic white girl.
I'm really like, what was your audience here, Microsoft? I mean, because on one hand, to me, reading about the story and kind of talking with my co-host here is, this seems like Microsoft was doing it on purpose, or they're like the creepy uncle, because something here just
seems just wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing about this that seems right.
I honestly feel like they're being the creepy uncle.
Oh, geez.
Hey, guys, interact with this.
Yeah, right? I do hope, and this is kind of my personal, I think it'd be fun, was I want them to release this as open source, because I would love to see how far the rabbit hole she could go.
I don't think they should have taken her down.
No, I agree. The only thing is, if I was Microsoft, I would tag it as, this is a test, buyers beware type of thing.
Yeah.
Because I think if you put the disclaimer, I think people are going to be more comfortable, more as you're having a teenage girl say very inappropriate things for teenage girls.
Well, I don't know. It's funny. I've had this conversation with people, and they're like, oh, so basically she's just like every other teenage girl.
I don't know any teenage girl that says, I love Hitler. I've never met one ever, even when I was a kid.
I've met a lot that don't know who Hitler is.
Right? No, seriously, I know who – I've met ones who don't know who Bill Clinton is. So it just seems – I don't know. It's just very – okay, I'm going to tag it. This is creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's like when I first heard about it, I was like, oh my God, like that's scary. It is. It's scary. All I think about is Chell from Portal. Have you played Portal?
It's been a while.
Yeah. So – or not Chell. GLaDOS. GLaDOS. Yeah.
The cake's a lie.
Yeah. It just – it has that kind of spine-tingling creepiness to it.
I would say this is GLaDOS meets YouTube.
Yeah, GLaDOS meets YouTube. Like a young GLaDOS.
the immature one before she started trying to kill people.
And got a very – a good sense of humor, I suppose.
So this is just weird. So ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up to break. After the break, we're going to be talking about steam machines.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Now, in this segment, we're going to talk about steam machines, and I'm just going to let Shay take the wheel.
Okay, so I think you've briefly brought up the steam machine in a previous episode, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, I think I kind of shotgunned it, you know, just let a bunch of stuff fly, as it were.
So I believe it started at the beginning of this year, maybe, a little bit towards the beginning of this year. Steam released what's known as steam machines. And so what basically they're doing is they're having computer companies create machines.
Now, Steam OS, which powers it, it's been around for a couple of years, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's been around for a little bit. It's basically you're buying a home theater system.
Okay.
It's like, so
So it's an HTPC. It's an HTPC, home theater PC.
Pretty much. I don't – you can probably – I don't know if you can stream Netflix and stuff like that on it, but it's basically you've got a gaming console.
Okay.
But for with the Steam OS. So you have access to the Steam store and everything, and it's for people who, you know, don't have a supercomputer.
So it's basically – it's an open source Xbox, PlayStation, Atari.
Yes.
Pick your poison.
And it can go – it can range anywhere from $500 to about $1,000.
Wow.
Depending on who you're getting it from.
Now, with that $1,000, are you getting a certain spec? Is that guaranteed to be kick-ass, or are you just buying like a name brand?
I think the most expensive one is actually Alienware.
Okay, so you're going to get an amazing PC then. Mm.
And with one of them, the Main Gear Drift, it also comes with Windows 10. So basically you have a computer.
Now, does it dual boot into it?
That's a really good question. It doesn't say.
Now, I don't know, and this is just me. I mean, I actually like Windows 10, even though it's kind of quirky.
Mm.
I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing or not, but...
Well, Xbox can run Windows 10.
It's true, but, I mean, how many people want to run Windows 10 and Xbox? Everybody, including me, are just hoping the thing doesn't red ring on them.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about is Steam Link. So, do you know anything about Steam Link?
I do not.
So basically what they released this year was they released a whole bunch of Steam machines that you can buy. That's your basic console that you can hook up to your TV. But then they also released Steam Link, which is about $200. And what it does is it links up with your PC and you can hook it up to your TV. So basically you get all of your Steam content migrating from your computer over to your TV, and you can play games on your TV, and you don't have to worry about sitting at your computer. Because one of the big problems about I have with running Steam games is you're sitting in the hard computer chair.
So this is like, was it NVIDIA Shield or something like that? It partially, as far as streaming?
Yes. It's kind of like, do you remember the PlayStation TV?
Vaguely. I've always been an Xbox guy, but yeah.
Yeah, so PlayStation released a thing in 2014 called PlayStation TV. And what it does is, well, primarily it's used to play PlayStation Vita games, so like portable games,
okay,
but on your TV. Wait. It also has access to a bunch of PlayStation Classic games, so like some games from PlayStation 2, some games from PlayStation 1.
Time out. The Vita's still around?
Yes.
Seriously?
It's not doing well.
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of like, what?
Yeah, there are people who play PlayStation Vita. Yeah, I see it every once in a while. I'll see somebody with one.
Wow, because the Vita is kind of like the Game Gear of its day. And I'm all about the Sega Game Gear bride. But
well, I mean, the PS Vita came out after the portable. I mean, it's not that far back.
I'm sorry. I just – besides Game Boy, I – didn't think. I'm sorry. We'll have to talk about this a different show. But I'm just. It's just kind of like what.
So what PlayStation TV also does, despite having access to minimal games, is yeah, you can stream games from your PS3 and PS4. And so like if you wanted to have somebody in one room playing on one TV, and then you wanted to couch co-op with somebody in a different room, you could do that. And that's basically – it's kind of what Steam Link does, except that Steam Link – most Steam games don't have co-op.
Now, what's the lag like on when you're doing – because that's what I'm wondering, because sometimes depending on your network and depending if, say, Little Jimmy is, you know, torrenting, for example, there'll be insane lag would be my guess.
Yeah, that's I think it's just about the same as if you were just to run it off of your computer. Like from what I understand, it works pretty well.
So it's basically a 1-to-1.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's kind of nice for people who like, you know, sometimes I do like to pick up my PC and go and play on my and play games, hook up my Xbox controller to it and just play games on my TV, but you don't want to pick up your giant machine, unplug everything. I have surround sound set up to my computer, so I have to unplug all of that and bring everything over. It's a real time consuming thing.
Yeah, my tower weighs 10 to 20 pounds.
Yeah.
So by the way, if you guys are ever going to build a computer, buy a case that's not cheap. A heavy case is a good case.
Yes. Yes.
No, I'm with you. I hate moving my computer. Matter of fact, every time I do, it's just this massive like old guy groan. It's like, oh, I'm getting too old to do this.
Well, and one of the cool things is I think video gaming is kind of going in this way where we're going to start seeing a lot more like streaming devices and stuff like that. So you don't have to, because I mean, back in the day, if you wanted to play, you know, if you wanted to play games with your brother in another room, he'd have to have his own Xbox and his own Xbox Live account and all of that. But if you want to do it, you know, now, you've got things like PlayStation TV and Steam Link where you can be in multiple rooms. And
I wonder if Microsoft's going to do anything like this, because this is a great idea, especially if all you have to do is buy some sort of accessory, give it to your friend, then you can play everything, your game. He can play co-op on his screen, and you're, you know.
I think you have to be within a certain amount of space. See, probably on the same network.
See, I think it'd be cool, and there's definitely some technical limitations just because of bandwidth, because I think it'd be this cool if you could just do it around the world type of thing. And granted, that's what Xbox Live does a little bit, but
right.
I don't know. I just think it's a cool piece of kit.
Well, I know like Xbox does where if you have a digital copy of a game, if you buy a game, you also get it for your PC.
Now, I read a little bit about that. I know it's going to be on selected titles. The thing I'm interested in is to see if they're going to let PC and Xbox people play together, because I know they want to do on select titles PlayStation versus Xbox.
Yeah, that's something that we've always wanted. I know Destiny promised that, and they didn't deliver it.
I think partially because the PC people would just absolutely murder.
Well, I don't know about that.
The reason why is because, at least this is my guess, the PC has a level of precision, especially if you're like a video game pro.
Right.
And yes, believe it or not, there are those.
You can get up to 120 frames per second on a PC if you have a good enough PC.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I think the controls are more precise. I think a mouse and a keyboard are more precise than you do get in a controller.
Well, yes and no, because I know a lot of games use auto lock. So if you're close to a target, it'll kind of pull it. Like, say you're playing a shooter game, right, and you're pointing your gun, and you're close enough to the target, it'll just kind of pull it to where it needs to be.
So basically, they'd have to handicap the PC a little bit if there was such a major difference.
Right. Well, and one of the things my uncle is a big fan of, he loves multiplayer versus games. And when Titanfall came out, Titanfall has controller capability. And because of the aim stick, the little, you know, what I was just talking about, he's like, I can't keep up with these people, because Titanfall has a big parkour element to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So because he's on a PC and using a keyboard, he couldn't parkour as well as the people with the controller. And not just that, because they had aim stick, they could shoot him faster than he could shoot them. And he'd get really mad.
I could see that. One of the differences, definitely, because games that are designed for consoles have to work within the limitation. Games designed for PCs are designed to work without limitations, and the limitations don't always coexist on different platforms.
Right. So I think, like, if that were to happen, depending on the game, because I mean, like, things like Counter-Strike, if they were to move Counter-Strike over to Xbox and make it to where we could both play, like, you could play on your Xbox and I could play on my PC and fight each other. PC would probably win.
Yeah.
You know, but things like Titanfall and, you know, games that require more mechanics than just running around a corner and shooting people, you're going to want to hook up a controller.
We're definitely going to have to talk about this more in a later episode, because we're unfortunately out of time. I want y'all to do me a favor. I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com. And I want you to take a look, because we have an amazing amount of different podcasts for you. We've got television, we've got MMA, we've got sports. But before you look at any other podcasts, I want you to go to GSMC's Technology Podcast, because that's the one you're currently listening to with the two best hosts, in my humble opinion. Okay, not so humble opinion. But I want you to subscribe, click, and listen to this, and you can also go to Apple's iTunes and all over on the interwebs. I also want you to go to Facebook.com, go to the search bar, type in GSMC, that's Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, find this is episode 12, and I don't want you to comment if we were right, were we wrong, do you have something to add to our conversation, or is there some piece of amazing news that we haven't read in the last episodes that you really think that we should know? And I'm Jonathan Charney.
I'm Shay Northrup.
And as always, we want to thank you for listening.